The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Love looking quick towards Rubio. Dobbs! Held on! Touchdown, Green Bay! Nick Mattis has the extra point blocked, and the Cowboys try to take it back for two with Marquise Bell. The Dallas on the board with a two-pointer off the blocked extra point.
Toe injuries can be so difficult to come back from. First and 15,
Love had the ball. Team's first turnover.
Third and goal. Jacobs walks it into the end zone for the Green Bay touchdown.
They're dropping a lot of safeties in. There are going to be some chances down the field.
That got rid of it. Here's Pickens inside the 10. Pickens to the goal line. He's in for the touchdown.
Cowboys bring it four. Love throw it.
End zone touchdown. Rubio Dobbs again.
Manis for the tie. 34. And this one is good. And this one ends in the second highest scoring tie game in NFL history.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Well, you know it's going to be a day when you hop into this chair and there are already folks lining up on the Carbless Talk and Text line 800-990-3776 to complain about the pack. Hey, at least you're not the Mets. If we're talking about fan bases that have had a rough go of it. Packers tie the Cowboys last night, 40-all in overtime. I'm glad that they reminded everybody of the overtime rules, by the way, because there were a lot of confused people out there once again. This is the first time the Packers have dealt with the new overtime rules, so yes, I understand why there was some confusion, but even so, the confusion about the overtime rules, not the most frustrating thing that happened during that stretch. It was the questionable calls, the horrid time management that led to the Packers settling for a tie against the Cowboys. So we're taking your reaction all morning long. What?
I don't know if they settled.
Lucky they won.
That's what I'm saying. Tie. It kind of feels like it was lucky that they tied.
You don't think Matt LaFleur was settling for the tie when he was like not going for the end zone time after time after time late in overtime?
I'm just saying in general, they're lucky that they tied. It's not like they were in and then they blew the lead. No, they were playing catch up for a lot of that second half and the back and forth that it was.
Yeah, but to the point of that, the offense looked good. The offense answered every call, except for when it appeared Matt LaFleur got conservative again, didn't go for the end zone with an opportunity to win the game in overtime, which I think is probably what is frustrating people the most. You play to win the game. No one said you play to tie the game.
And well, sometimes you play not to lose, I guess.
Are you okay with that?
No.
His play calling sucked in that stretch. Back in the day, we had five plays from the 20. Thank you. From the 20 in. No. And how I wound up watching it, I got back from Chicago at 5, almost up 24 hours, and I'm fighting to stay up for the game. Got toothpicks in my eyes, so I fall asleep. I just go to bed. I'm sitting there going, this is going to be a 28-10. 28-10, tomorrow will be an easy day. Just fudge your way through it. So I wake up.
I love the transparency.
I wake up at 2:45, like it's noon. And I go to my phone and 40-40 tie in overtime. I'm like, now I got to work. So at 2:45, I'm like, all right, NFL Network might have it on. Has it on. Middle of the second quarter, so I watched the whole thing this morning, and
so you're up, you're fired up, you're ready to go.
A couple things sparked me. There was clearly no Micah Parsons effect, which was weird to me. And it wasn't Micah Parsons, it was everybody else. It's like, okay, It had been like Reggie going back to Philly back in the day.
Yeah.
You think it would raise everyone else's, hey, let's get this for Reggie, da, 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 da. But no one did anything. I mean, Parsons was getting double teamed. He was bringing pressure. But where the hell is Gary? Where were the linebackers?
Well, Extra and Cooper played
else?
The worst game that I can think of.
I'm like, and that to me was bizarre. But, you know, where we are at, that last series is back in our day. When you're in that situation, you take shots at the end zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah!
You take shots at the end zone. There were no shots at the end. Of
the, well, there and, was and the you one know what the other thing the they do? Back in the end zone, he was covered, right?
Yeah. They waste timeout. Like, I don't like when they called that timeout on that last series. It was like 28 seconds left, and they called a timeout. Why? If anything, you move quickly, you hurry along, you outpace them, and you said it earlier, Gabe, if that ball gets tipped, the last one he throws in another second, they lose.
Oh, if it's a little higher and goes to the back of the end zone? Because that clock doesn't stop until the ball hits the ground. So if it goes to the back of the end zone, it's done. It's over.
And God, like, I mean, again, if the clock operator just leaves his finger off of it for a split second, I mean, there was way too much that you were leaving to chance there. And again, I said to these guys at our production meeting this morning, after the referee said that there was a receiver in the area, which was clearly intentional grounding from Dak Prescott, I said, oh, well, they want the Cowboys to win this game. So it wouldn't have shocked me if whoever was operating the clock up in the press box was like, whoopsies. But no, you get lucky. There's 1 second left on the clock. You can trot McManus out there. He can kick the field goal, which is basically a chip shot, thank goodness. But you had opportunities to win that game. For as bad as the defense played, for as bad as special teams played, for all of the issues, for the time management questions that you have about Matt LaFleur and the play calling, you had opportunities to win that game, and you just sort of took your foot off the gas again. And I think this morning, and certainly last night after the game, that's what a majority of Packers fans are upset about. Can you trust Matt LaFleur in these types of situations?
And I trust Chewy more, and that's why I'm glad the big guy's here today when it comes to the play calling stuff, right? Like, I don't know. I didn't play in the league. I don't call plays. I don't know what goes all into that, right? And I feel most of the time people get upset. It's the fact that the play didn't work. But you know more of that than I do.
Well,
I look at it more from a...
Yeah.
Every decision that he made in terms of being aggressive or conservative, he got wrong yesterday.
Yeah.
There was a play in the first half where they're near midfield, decide to punt it away. Probably could have been aggressive there, especially with the way the defense was playing early, but decided to punt it away. Late in the first half, after the false start penalty, okay, clearly our right tackle in Kennard, he's held up okay, just had the false start, he's a little rattled. All right, you know what, let's just go into the locker room with the lead, we'll figure this out. Instead, decides to be aggressive, calls for a deep shot because they need to get a bunch of chunk yardage because there's only 21 seconds left, and Kennard is unable to get enough depth, strip sack, Cowboys score the next play, now you go in down. And again, at the end of the game, now you're being aggressive, and you turtle up once you get to the 25-yard line. Just turtle up, just time to, time to make sure that we don't turn the ball over here, and we get uber conservative, and then you blow the play. I mean, the time management. My goodness, I didn't realize Mike McCarthy returned to the bleeping sideline yesterday with how long it took them, which is inexcusable. A, on Jordan Love, you got to be better there. And B, you're able to talk into his headset. How is LaFleur not going, hey, this is what the time is. This is what we want to do. You until that play clock turns off, like, how is this? And LaFleur saying the communication has to be better. You're in his ear. You can't get any more direct communication in that instance. Hey, we're out of timeouts. Jordan, we got to go. Jordan, we got to go. We got to have some urgency here. And Jordan's going, are we huddling? Are we not huddling? What are we doing? No, this is... The last two games have come down to Matt LaFleur not really having an identity for this team or an identity as a head coach.
It's a little too panicky and a little too conservative. And in that situation, you have to be able to have throwaway plays. And we would have them back in the day. What I mean by throwaway is you have setup plays. Back in the day, no one ran the shake route better than Antonio Freeman. And that's what we would set up. So the shake route is slant to corner. And he was amazing at it. So Holmgren would hold that in his pocket and run. He'd go slant, slant, let him take the bait a little bit, right? And then when you needed something like this, then you go to the shake, and then you smoke him.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, he just, the rhyme and reason just doesn't flow.
I got to tell you, Chew, this, what you're saying, yeah. I have seen people criticizing Matt LaFleur for, that it seems like they're just throwing darts at a dartboard during the play calling, as opposed to what you're saying is like
setting
strategically
things
setting things up so that you can use a kill shot because you have shown them one thing time in and time out as the game has gone on situationally, and then... Yo, you're biting on it? We gotcha. And people are saying, like, that is a part of Matt LaFleur that they don't get. Where's the setup? Where's the strategy? Yeah. Where's the intelligence?
Like, well, I feel like that used to exist. And I don't know if it's because now they had to change the way they run the football to fit Josh Jacobs that he hasn't been able to marry. And this is, again, we go back, we talked about this, I feel, a lot last year when it came to the play action stuff. And when you run this style of offense, the Matt LaFleur from Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, like the stretch, the boot, all those sorts of stuff that they want to marry up, it seems like that has gone away as they've run out of shotgun more to try to fit more what Josh Jacobs is better at running.
In my setup, or the tight end setup play in the red zone, mainly from the 7-in, is the stick nod. You guys all seen the stick nod. But you run, Holmgren be like, okay, you're not going to get the ball here, but I want you to run stick. Because the Mike linebacker always covers you for the most part on the goal line. So stick, you set him up. Stick, ooh, you cut out hard and he's got to fly. And then Holmgren go, all right, stick nod. So you've already run stick twice and that Mike has jumped it and then you nod it. And then that's what I'm saying. There's no, you got to be willing to have throwaway plays. Well, they might not work the first or second time. But when you run, you know, the play that you're setting up and you need it, it's there.
Well, he had said in the second play before the cluster eventually happened that they were trying to run a look off of the first play. But that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about setting it up throughout the course of the game.
Throughout the course of the game.
Not like, oh, hey, we gave him the look on this play. No. Let's see if we can get him on this
earlier.
Yeah.
They are reshowing this on GetUp this morning, and obviously they are being very critical of the play calling. They're being very critical of the time management. I mean, the clock is huge. You see how they've done it, guys? They've taken the clock from its normal size, and they've blown it up to about six times the size just to show you 12, 11, 10, still not set, 9, 8, still not set. Here we go, 7. 6 finally snaps the ball. Jordan drops back, throws it to the end zone, back of the end zone. Two defenders on. Who is that receiver back there? I can't even tell.
I think that was Matthew Golden.
Woof. And 1 second left on the clock for them to go out there and tie.
But the thing is, it's almost like they don't practice these things.
Almost like?
These are the things you practice so when they happen, because, you know, you heard me say it a million times, you got to be able to handle adversity in games because there's so much of it. It's like they don't handle adversity very well. It's like they don't practice it, you know? And there's certain periods during the week where you practice these situations, whether it's 2 minute or it's red zone or it's short yardage or it's things like that. It's just, a lot of this is on him. You can't sit there and go, this is the defense. They didn't show up to play. They played great against the Browns and had a letdown game. When you have letdown games, coaches deserve a lot of the blame, and they do deserve a lot of the blame in this game. And it's funny because I was flying over and I read the article Gabe was just talking about. It's like, ooh, Jeff Hafley, probably the hottest prospect for next year being a head coach. I'm like, there's the kiss of death.
You say we can temper that for
now.
Let's
pump the
brakes. That, shelve that for now. 800-990-3776. We'll take your reaction all morning long to the Packers tying the Dallas Cowboys. We all thought this was going to be a curb stop, man. We thought that the Packers were going to go in there. I called it a get right game. I'm not sure they got right.
The offense did.
Well, but then, but
and that's what we
was
thought. We thought the offense was going to get
because
right.
Because Dallas was doo-doo.
There was, in my wildest dreams, I mean, to Chewy's point, and again, I don't want to let Matt LaFleur off the hook because this lies directly at his feet. I did not imagine the defense could play this poorly against a team that was missing their top wide receiver. Yeah. And much like the Packers, going through some offensive line turmoil because they also had two guys that were out that are preferred starters.
But I just want to get this out here before the guy behind the glass jumps me. Okay. I am not too low. All right. I don't get too high. I am not too low. It's four games in. And if you look at these four games, yes, they've underachieved with Micah Parsons. The way they started out, I would take 3-1. This feels like a loss, more like 2-2. But this thing does not matter until week 13, 14. It's fine. There's no panic.
You're not concerned about the play calling. You're not concerned about time management coming back to bite him in the ass in a more critical game than this one?
If it was week 9, I would say yes, but it's the fourth game. They'll be fine.
And I hear you on the timing of this season,
yeah.
But Matt LaFleur has an awful lot of tape out there, Chewy.
He does. But if you look at other, you know, Washington crapped down their leg. Minnesota's done. You know, there's no one else. It's Tampa Bay loses to the Eagles. So it's the Eagles, Detroit, and the Packers. That's it. At the end of the day, that's who it'll be. You just kind of keep pace with those other teams and not let it get away. But I 4 games in, I'm not going to press any kind of panic button.
Reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talking text line. Let's go to Don in the 262. He says, rage against LaFleur for his game management and play calling is long overdue. Throw in his acceptance for a blank special teams coach as well. Chef Ed said, LaFleur's been given a long leash, 7 years and done nothing in this space. It's time to change the head coach. When can we talk about Bisaccia and his overpriced self and the horrid play of his unit? Has he been fired yet? That from Matt in the 608. And then Jeff in the 920 says this is all on the head coach. Bad time management. Never should have thrown the ball at the end of the second quarter. He blew the last series. Charlie, check down Packers, will never win with LaFraud as the head coach. Keep getting us your reaction this morning. We will take a break. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to your reaction all morning long here as we continue talking about a tie that felt like a loss for the Green Bay Packers last night in Big D.
Let me tell you about our good friends at Events by Design. Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. The creative team at Events by Design truly enjoys the work that they do. And the great thing about Events by Design, whether you're looking for something small, for example, at our golf outing, they provided somebody on the first tee. They did walk-up songs for everybody as they came up to the 14th tee. Really cool, really fun, nice, unique thing to add to ours. They've also organized and run big events like the Buck Soiree. They did that last year, and I was present for it. It was unbelievable. So whether it's big, whether it's small, whether it's that holiday party that you probably should be planning by now, Events by Design can help you out. For over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events, retain top talent by investing in your culture today. Just search online. Events by Design. They design you party.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I feel very strongly about organization at this point in my life. And so when my closet was causing me a lot of anxiety, just because it was too full, a lot of old clothes, things I'd collected over the last 20 years of doing television, the folks over at Closets by Design heard my cries and took care of it for me. I've been working with Doug and his team in Mequon, and they helped me design a warm, incredible space for my closet. Now, granted, taking a couple trips to Goodwill didn't hurt. But also, they just gave me the space that I needed to feel comfortable and confident in my closet. They've been a leader in custom storage solutions since 1982, combining quality, beauty, and a true commitment to customer satisfaction. So if you find yourself in the space where you're thinking, I need to get organized, Closets by Design can take care of it for you. No obligation, in-home consultations, custom designs, and the best value in the industry. If you're ready to get organized, check out Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you. Packers leave Dallas with a tie, 40-all, and it was a weird way to end the game. I think a lot of people have frustration this morning, lots of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line. Jeff says, Matt LaFleur is a terrible game manager. He is, however, the prettiest terrible game manager in the NFL. Things will never get better while he is the head coach. Let's go out to the phone line, 800-990-3776. Mo in Jersey, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Your reaction to the Packers tying the Cowboys last night.
This is on Matt LaFleur. I mean, every week is the same speech. Oh, I know it was bad play calling. It's a bad play calling. All these RPOs, like, we got to get rid of it. You got to let loose. If you look around the NFL, all the good quarterbacks, none of the head coaches is holding them back. Every week is the same thing. RPOs, RPOs, RPOs. Like, let loose. Jordan had one of his best games last night since he's been our starter. And it's all from conservative play calling. Can you imagine if we just let him loose? Like, this is getting out of control with all this this RPOs and then go to the press conference every week. Oh, it's a bad play calling. Oh, that's on me, a bad play calling. Fix it then. Like, this is frustrating. Like, this is beyond frustrating. Even last night, like, at that point, like, you get in the end zone, then you don't know the timing. Thank God it hit the back of the cornerback, or the game would have been over with. Like, Matt got to get way better with this, man. I mean, you going to the bar, you got to fix this. But this play calling is outrageous. Like, I'm sick of it, man. You got to let Jordan loose. I mean, we even got a first-round wide receiver. Wicks is always open. Like, we got to get the ball to our play call. Like, this is just bad. Like, and I'm just over it. At this point, I'm just over it. We can't keep going off, oh, he's a winning coach. No, no, no. The play calling has been bad for a couple of years now. Like, we got to get loose with this, man. And this is all I have to say to you.
The hard part of it is, this is the tough part of it. They had 489 yards total offense.
Yeah.
You know? But this is my analogy. You guys tell me whether I like it a lot or not. It's like going to a Taylor Swift concert, right? And her songs that aren't real popular, she nails. And you're like, wow, I kind of like that song now. And then she plays her best stuff and she's terrible. Right? She's like playing her top hits and like...
Breaks a guitar string or what?
Whoa, that is bad. I don't remember the song being like that. That's the thing. When he's in the spotlight, you know, it's kind of like, dude, you choke a little bit.
Well, so again, it's hard to juxtapose what we've seen now the last 2 weeks with last year. Because last year, I thought he did a phenomenal job. Jordan Love gets hurt. They have to shift their offensive strategy. And they end up being a team that, for the first time under him, runs the ball more than they throw it. They have to make Josh Jacobs a little bit better. They have to shift the way they run the football. And it works. Like, they won 11 games last year. He was great. In these situations, just yesterday was, I laid at the feet of him. But by the way, Jordan isn't blameless in not having any urgency. Like he needs to be better in that situation.
Yeah, a little situational
too.
Awareness.
Like, you have to understand, you, and he knows he doesn't have any timeouts left. Like, what are you doing? What, holding onto the ball for as long as he did then, and then throwing it to the end zone? Like,
he's
you
waiting
know.
For the play to develop. He's waiting for his guys to get open.
Yeah.
He's waiting for them to shed
but
their
I've feet. Seen
you
this,
have to know. Like,
you know,
the quarterback has to know that in that situation, yeah. too. Again, most of my blame and most of my ire is going towards Matt LaFleur, but Love's got to be better in that situation.
But the problem too. Is there's such a track record, because you can go all the way back to when they played Tampa Bay
mm-hmm.
in the NFC Championship game, you know, and he kicks the field goal, but he was uber conservative there. It's almost like he needs, and I don't know about Stinovich. I know he's got an offensive line background, but it's nice to have a guy in the booth that can say, hey, let's roll the dice here. You know, just roll it. Just throw something. Just, that's the tough thing, because when you get into these situations, you just can't be conservative. You got to be willing to lose the game, you know? And I don't think he is. And I don't know if that's ever going to change, you know, but it's hard to bash a guy when he has 489 yards total offense, because I'm sure they're going to move up high in rank and they'll be a top 10.
We talked about it this week leading into the game. The Dallas defense stunk.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, they put up big numbers. They took advantage of their weakness, which is a good thing. I guess when I keep going back to the conservative play calling for Matt LaFleur, guys, the question that is ringing over and over in my head is, does he trust Jordan Love? Does he trust Jordan to be able to make those throws, to be able to make those plays and not turn the ball over? Because that, to me, is why I think he keeps going back to the conservative play calling when you have a chance to win the game. Take some shots at the end zone. I don't know. What if he throws it into double coverage? What if he throws a duck and it gets picked off and runs?
Well, the last two times he's gotten aggressive, it has blown up. Last week, Jordan throws the interception. This week, the offensive line doesn't hold up in protection, and it ends up being a strip sack. Like, both times he's decided, hey, I want to get aggressive, it has resulted in turnovers.
I wonder if, and this goes to trust, I wonder if he asks him what he likes. Because I just always remember Mike going, what do you like here?
Should.
What do you like? And I'm sure they did it with Aaron.
For sure.
Like, what do you like here? You know, because when you're in the flow of a game, the coach doesn't always know. He's like, well, Romeo tells me that, you know, the double move on the far side against his formation, he's got him. Let's just trust him here. I don't know how much communication LaFleur actually has with his players to the point, like you said, where he trusts them.
Well, but that's, I mean, so that goes back to coach communication too, right? Because we'll use, since they both wore 87, and your day will say Robert Brooks instead of Romeo Doubs.
Yeah.
Is Robert going directly to Mike, or is he going to his receivers coach, who then is going to Mike?
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
Goes to his positional coach, his positional coach then relays that
information. And it's usually on a backside something where you can just set the guy up all day long, you know? And then Robert does that, and then either he tells the coordinator or the receivers coach is watching him, specifically on that play, where then he'll go, you know, Robert's got him on the backside to this formation. If you want it, that safety's cheating over way too far. I don't know how much he trusts his coaches. And I told you last year, there's a lot of things in the – let me slow down because I haven't done this in a while. Am I right?
I've never been
this excited on a Monday.
That's what I was about to say.
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I kind of like 2 o'clock Monday Chewy because he thinks his body thinks it's 2 o'clock right
and
now.
His brain does too.
He is all sorts of fired up.
So,
I am digging this.
What I was going to say is, Gabe, going back to last year, there's a lot of things in that receiver room that I question. And there's one specific play, and I think it was at the end of the game, where they threw the slip screen to Golden to the right.
Yeah.
Doubs totally blew the block there.
He blew the block, but such a small thing. Why are you having his shoulders turned that way? It's so hard for a receiver to gather himself and turn when you do it like a second baseman and you open up this way and catch the ball, and it's much easier to go to downhill. That's the stuff I'm talking about. Attention to detail.
But some of that's also ball placement then, because if Golden has to
spin his hips. Isn't that what he's talking about? Or are you talking about the receiver issue? Yeah. Or are you talking about how Jordan put the ball in the wrong spot?
No. I'm talking how you have the receivers turn. Mm-hmm. So the sidelines here, he's having them turn here.
Yep.
Instead of just opening up here, and then you can see this, and then you're downhill.
Right.
That is the attention to detail
that might
stuff
be a rookie
that
thing,
I am.
Though. That might be a rookie.
It could
thing.
Be. It could be. But for me, it looked like coaching.
And I do think that Golden, from what I've seen from him early this season, is relying on his athleticism a little more than maybe, to your point, the finer details that you want to shore up now that you're in the big boy league. Yeah, let's talk
in
about
in fairness, if I was that kind of athlete, I'd also rely on that kind of athleticism.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's a lot of athletic guys in the league at this level, gang. Here's the thing that I think is interesting. At the beginning of the season, during the offseason, Ed Policy said he wasn't going to extend Brian Gutekunst. He wasn't going to extend Matt LaFleur. We all think that Brian Gutekunst, by going out and getting Micah Parsons, sort of, you know, showed, hey, I'm in it to win it. Like, I'm going to do my stuff. I'm going to go get the guys.
His other free agent acquisitions, stinky.
Yeah. Nate Hobbs, where you at, buddy? It was a bad day for you. Bad day for the corners. But has Matt LaFleur done enough? And I would say right now, if you were forced to one or zero this thing, yes or no, yay or nay, Matt LaFleur extension, I think everybody's sort of going no right now, right? I mean, is that fair to say that given what we've seen early this season, if you had to make a decision right now, Ed Policy, is Ed Policy taking a chance and saying yes, giving Matt LaFleur the extension? Or is he still sitting in the let's wait and see column?
I think he's still in the let's wait and see. I think he's like Chewy. Policy's been around for a long time. Been around the NFL a long time. He knows it's a long season. But I think LaFleur's got to win the division at this point to probably get that extension. I think you got to be hosting a game at Lambeau Field when we hit January in the postseason.
Yeah, but then you bring the money into
to
play.
Get,
it's
to
one
get
thing
a
to
meaningful
get
meaningful extension.
A meaningful extension.
Because I know we've played out the scenario with Jason where, okay, what if they're the 6-7 seed, they make the playoffs, he probably gets that 1 year extension and he's not a lame duck and it's ends up being an even bigger prove it year next year. But to get a meaningful extension, an actual extension, he's got to win the division.
And then you give it to him in the middle of the season or you wait till next year?
Well, we don't know if he wins the division until the end of the year. And at that point, you just, during the offseason, he gets his extension. You know, right away in late February, early March, whatever.
I don't know. I think you got to wait till playoffs. I would think with a team like this and Parsons and I would say you have to at least make the NFC Championship game. No?
Again, I think it all kind of depends upon how it plays out.
I'm just looking at I'm not going to pay him like one of the highest paid coaches in the league if all he does is win the division.
No, but it's something they haven't done with Jordan Love yet. And that's a meaningful step in the right direction. Like, to me, again, depends upon who you play in the playoffs. If, let's say, Jordan Love gets injured on play three of the playoffs and you don't make the NFC Championship game, right? Like, that's, okay, what do you do then? So I just look at that as an overarching goal for the season of, hey, you won the division, you got a home playoff game. Those are the things that we're used to as the Green Bay Packers. You haven't won the division since 2021. All right, now we can reward you with
the
extension.
Do we all agree through four games they've underachieved?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How bad?
I mean, by a tie, because 3-1 feels good. If we're breaking it down in your quarter system, which I know doesn't work as well with the 17 games, but if we're breaking it down in these little four-game increments, you go 3-1 across the board, you're 12-4 at the end of the year, and that's and you feel good about where you're at.
But for a good team, doesn't a tie feel like a loss?
This felt like a loss because of the way they tied.
Yeah.
Because they had an opportunity to win the game, that whole, like, step on the throat, show you're the aggressor, be the hunter, not the hunted, and they didn't really do that. And I think that's what fans are frustrated about this morning. Lots of loyal listeners lighting up the Carbless Talk and text line this morning. Nathan says, I think Matt was scared of Aubrey. He didn't play to win the game in overtime. Once they were in field goal range, he played to run the clock out. So if they didn't score a touchdown, they didn't allow the Cowboys a chance to win. But again, overtime was over once the 10 minutes expired. It's not like in college where they go again and they go again.
Well, which is why LaFleur wanted to make sure the Cowboys didn't get the ball for a second time.
Because they just returned the ball to the 50 and then Aubrey's in field goal position.
So I think that that Matt LaFleur was a little bit spooked by the new overtime rules as well. Jordan Love had his typical Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde game. That from Don. The yardage does not outweigh the almost interception, the fumble, the lack of urgency or time management. He got lucky that there was a chance for a tie. And Jaws in Milwaukee says Matt LaFleur was billed as an offensive guru. Many times he simply seems flummoxed out there instead of reacting. Jordan needs to elevate his play.
Say that word again that starts with an F again.
Flummoxed.
Flummoxed?
Flummoxed? Is it flummoxed?
Flummoxed.
I like flurmuxed.
Flurmuxed?
Flurmuxed?
Yeah.
Flurmuxed. Is that what we're doing here?
Flummoxed? I believe that's German.
All right, we'll go with I'll
I
go
made
with
a whole
like,
lot
nah.
of German words when
oh,
I was
God,
over there.
I can't imagine.
It's so easy.
You get a couple of pops in you at Oktoberfest, I can only imagine.
Lichtenstein!
I can only imagine the way you insulted the German people.
Oh, what a disgusting language, though. I mean, it really is when you think about it. When they walk around, with, like, okay.
A lot of
yes.
They stick their tongue out like you just did there, too.
God, do they bag, too.
What an ugly language he says.
It is.
When he said ugly, did you think language was the next thing that was following that? Because
no,
that was not what I thought he was going with.
Put it on the poll. Uglier. The German language or the Packers tie last night. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to. Do you think Matt LaFleur has earned an extension this season? Ed Policy's got to make that decision at some point about the head coach. Has he earned it yet? Or are you still like Gabe is in the let's wait and see what the rest of the season brings? Let us know, 800-990-3776.
Let me tell you about my friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things for Pella is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers might have apprehensions about inviting somebody out to their home. Look, again, it can feel like an invasive process, but the helpful team at Pella is just not going to lead you astray. I had them out at my house. We looked at my windows, decided we were good there. I needed that new front door, which is why we have it. And I still love the way the outside of my house looks because of the way they walked me through all the different customizable options to make sure I got the right door for my house. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. If you order by the end of the month, get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Just visit PellaWI.com today. And when you use Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin, tell them the Gabe Neitzel sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm with Gabe here, yeah. I think more confident in my left hand here just cupping right now other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you're traveling this football season, cannot recommend my friends over at the Accutrans Group more. Whether I'm traveling to the airport, here and there, you know, I figured out I took 13 flights in the last 9 days. I am so happy to have my feet on the ground. But when I do have to travel, I rely on Accutrans to get me to and from the airport. And here at Good Karma Brands, we also count on Accutrans to get our partners to and from Green Bay first class every time. They got professional drivers, reliable pickups, zero parking hassles. Your game day fun starts the moment you step on board. So book your ride right now at AccutransGroup.com. That's AccutransGroup.com, and enjoy the ride. To all the fans out there who want Matt LaFleur fired, fine. Who are you going to go get? John Gruden? There's actually nobody out there. That from Steve in the 262.
I mean, I don't know if anybody's actually going to call for his firing in the middle of the season. I mean, he's the guy from here until the end of the year. Then we make that evaluation. He's not getting fired in the middle of the season.
Yeah, what is he, Sam Pittman? Please.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Like, he has the same winning percentage, by the way, in the regular season as your guy.
Who's my guy?
Oh my gosh. Who do you think your guy is?
Who would your guy be if I'm talking about head coaches?
Son of a buck. That's a good guess. That's fair.
I mean, that is one of your guys, but yeah. Like,
he's got an incredible winning percentage.
Yes, he does. He also never coached the Packers as the head guy.
Oh. Well, could be Mike Sherman. Could be Ray Rhodes is my guy.
Oh, yeah, because Ray Rhodes. Yes, yeah. Ray Rhodes and Matt LaFleur have the same record.
Homie?
God bless it.
Homie?
Yes. 670 is the winning percentage for both those guys.
Yeah, as sharp as you've been the rest of the show, that was not your best moment.
Don't start fading on me now.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. He'll figure it out.
Really?
I can't say he's going to get more aggressive, but he's got the ability to look within and say, I've got to be better. And he probably said that after the game. I got to be better.
It's not even a matter of being more aggressive consistently, guys. It's a matter of time and place. Time and place. It seems like he struggles with the situational awareness of when to be aggressive, when to be conservative, when we should be running the ball, when we should be going for the end zone, when we should be kicking a field goal. And listen, I don't think that ChatGPT is the end-all, be-all. We have talked about this. There have been errors that have been made when you reach out to ChatGPT. But just for funsies, you know, just for S's and G's, this morning I said, can you compile a list of questionable calls or time management for Packers head coach, management issues rather, for Packers head coach Matt LaFleur in recent years? And you know what? It took 36 seconds for it to come up with a list of 7 different incidents, guys. 36 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, obviously last night's game is top of mind, so it talks about that. But then it talks about falls on my shoulders, end game, timeout, field goal range confusion, January 5th, 2025. After a late game sequence with muddled intent, going for it on 4th and 4 versus settling for a long field goal, LaFleur said the clock management falls on his shoulders, noting a sideline debate about being in range for a field goal. Then it goes to December 6, 2024. Conservative 4th down approach versus the Lions. Anybody remember that one? That was a 34-31 loss. In a rain game, LaFleur opted for a 46-yard field goal on a 4th and 6 from the Detroit 28, which missed. Emblematic of a broader 2024 trend of shying away from analytically favored 4th down tries. And I get it. I know there are people out there that don't like the analytics that say that you should know coach with your gut. But the analytics exist, at least in some part, to direct your decisions, right? At least you know what the odds are. At least you know how often it succeeds, how often it fails. You know, like, that's the benefit of having all of that data.
Say what you want about analytics and going with your gut. Well, it seems like Matt LaFleur has a case of gut rot because his gut has not treated him well.
But Josh, do you notice the too high, too low?
I don't think I'm being too low.
No. I'm saying the fans, how after week one, it's like, give us the Lombardi trophy. Now they want him fired. And that's what I preach.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
going to
be.
You're built in this. You've lived this.
Yeah.
We're fans.
React. I know. I get it, but it's people, it's going to be fine.
I do also think there's a different mindset because when you played, you had to go out there every week and you had to compete.
Yeah.
Getting too high or too low is going to affect your performance. I think us pointing out things like Rich Bisaccia and his inability to turn around special teams.
Now we're getting to the core of Josh's biggest issues.
Well, that was just one thing on the list of many that happened.
No, your biggest issue with Matt LaFleur. And maybe I'm just diagnosing this as your pal who's heard you talk about Rich Bisaccia over the years, is your biggest issue with Matt LaFleur is he's held on to Rich Bisaccia for too long.
Yes, much like he did Joe Barry.
Yeah, so that number one complaint for you is, why is Rich Bisaccia still here?
Well, I think it might be transitioning.
No, it's not. It's not, because there's a track record there, too. LaFleur just doesn't like firing guys he likes. He doesn't. This is a business. You have to fire him. If he's not performing, which he's not, up to your standard, you can't keep him around. You know? Well, that's the thing. It's like when I played our offense, right? So Mooch, great mind. Andy Reid, obviously, great mind. It's so much easier. It's like running a household. You know what I mean? It's like, Jen, it's like, and my wife says, can you give me a little help? Give me a little help. Logistics, this, that. I need someone. Can you do this? Kids, hey, can you do the dishes and the dishwasher? I'm running around. I don't know if this is the case, but it very well could be that LaFleur just does too much. Doesn't have enough good coaches underneath him. I mean, in all these years, how long has he been there? 8 years?
This is his seventh season.
How many offensive head coaches have there been? Just one who was a train wreck?
Yes. Yeah.
That's not great, Bob. You know, you want good people under you because it makes your job easier. And it's like when you get overloaded and you have to think about every little thing, it's hard.
I just think it's also a little bit different than it was in Holmgren's day, because a lot of people took big risks on Andy, on Mooch, on Marty Mortenwig, on John Gruden. Because it seems like if you don't call plays, you're not getting that head coaching opportunity in 2025. And that's obviously not the case for the guys I just listed, who all became head coaches under Holmgren. Like, it's a little different now, where you're not getting those opportunities unless you call the plays.
Yeah, no, I get it. But like in Bisaccia's case, you need a guy there who is so proactive. He's like into the second quarter when you're already, you know, and it's 8 minutes into the first. You need a guy that's like thinking way ahead, like, yep, I got this. It should just be second nature to him, not having a discussion on the sideline. Well, that guy's function is to just tell you what to do in a situation so you don't have to do too much.
Also, because going back to, again, the clock management malfeasance that they had at the end of the game, some of that goes on Bisaccia too. You're not just the special teams coordinator. You're the associate head coach.
Yeah.
What do you do to earn that title if it's not to help out with the situational awareness things that are going on in front of you? Like, that's got to fall on him at some point too.
No, I agree.
Again, it all comes back, and Matt LaFleur gets the biggest chunk of the pie chart of blame here. Shout out Scalzo and Brust. But there are other issues that have fallen from that as well.
Yeah.
And like you said, I don't know what's going on during the course of the week. Who's got to step up, but somebody's got to.
No.
Because you know that there's going to be another tight game, and that can't happen again. That we saw at the end of the game last night in overtime, that can't happen
again. Well, and again, I just keep going back to, like, I watch a lot of college football, obviously, on Saturdays, guys. And doesn't it feel like these coaches who are at the top of their game are running, in case of emergency, break glass plays at practice? You look at, like, fire drills at the end of the game where special teams are running out there and they got to kick a late field goal and there's only seconds left on the clock, but they execute it flawlessly. And you're like, the only way that happens is because they have devoted time during practice to doing just that. It feels like the Packers never saw themselves in a situation where they would be in a tie game with the Dallas Cowboys and have to run this type of offense. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it almost feels like this type of stuff maybe wasn't even on their radar. And then you have to ask yourself, like, is that malfeasance? Is that negligent to not be doing that? There's a lot of reaction that continues to roll in this morning. But I think that the frustration for fans comes down to this. You look like a top team, an elite team, for the first 2 weeks of the season. And you start thinking about what it's going to be like to watch your team go into these places, go on the road, and just assert their dominance. And for the last 2 weeks, they haven't done that. And I understand don't get too high and don't get too low, but you sort of teased us with this idea that you were going to be this juggernaut team. And since you haven't been able to do that the last 2 weeks, I think there's a lot of disappointment. I think there's a lot of frustration. I think there's a lot of, oh, man. I thought we were going to be that team this year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were going to be that unit. You know, you just saunter in a little bit like the WWE guys that you see walking their way into the ring. And that's just not how this Green Bay Packers team has performed over the last 2 weeks, and there's been a little bit of a letdown for the fan base. 800-990-3776. We'll take your reaction all morning long. Before we take a break, let's go out to Jay in Milwaukee. Jay's waiting patiently on the phone line. Jay, what do you got for us?
I was just going to say R-E-L-A-X.
Thank you.
It's a long season. I know in the first couple weeks, they were talking about how we were Super Bowl champs or Super Bowl team. And now in the last 2 weeks, now we're looking at getting rid of the coach and Jordan Love's got to step up. So I just say relax, just like Aaron Rodgers said. And I think everybody just need to see what happens after the bye week and go from there.
Appreciate the call, Jay. A little moment of...
Well, let's just go home. Done here.
Here's the problem with the bye week.
Let's just forget.
I understand how, okay, let's get some of these things cleaned up in the bye week. Packers haven't always been the best coming out of the bye week under Matt LaFleur. No. Makes me a little nervous putting up something like they just did and now going into the bye week.
Who do they play next?
Cincinnati, at home.
Oh. Fine. No?
What do you mean, fine?
That's a win.
That's what we thought about the Dallas Cowboys.
That's what we thought about the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, but at home, they're dominant.
That's true. Right? We have not seen one of the, maybe they're just one of these teams that can't play on the road. Which
could
is
you
not
imagine
good.
If they put together the Dallas game's offense and the Cleveland game's defense?
Yeah, we would
win like 80-0.
We'd be back to where we were in week one.
Yeah.
Celebrating how good this team is.
We're good. It's all good. It's all good. We're going to get, when's Watson coming back? Soon?
Don't know.
He's eligible, though.
He has now spent enough time on IR, yes.
Yes, yeah. I think his practice window opens this week.
Okay, good.
If they choose to activate.
Yes.
That window doesn't actually open until they go, hey, get out there, and then they've got 3 weeks to activate him.
Keep getting us your reaction all morning long. We are asking you, has Matt LaFleur earned the extension? That glorious extension that was put out there by Ed Policy in the offseason that he's not going to give to Brian Gutekunst. He's not going to give to Matt LaFleur. He doesn't believe in lame duck seasons. Has he earned it, in your opinion, so far? I'm guessing that most people are saying no. I'm guessing that most people are saying they're a little disenchanted with what the head coach has done in the last couple of weeks. 800-990-3776. We'll take a break. Roll on right after this. Did you know Great Midwest Bank is celebrating 90 years of serving southeastern Wisconsin homeowners, 1935 to 2025? That's a long history of helping families right here in our community. And I've experienced it myself, not just with our mortgage, but with everyday banking, checking, savings, even 24/7 mobile banking. It is all so convenient, but still comes with that personal touch from real people who understand your real needs. That's why I trust Great Midwest Bank. Find a location at greatmidwestbank.com. That's greatmidwestbank.com, your simply local equal housing lender and member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But. But Ernie,
you don't know how to.
Ernie,
do it, and I don't know
does
how to
it ever?
It, so
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
When we are struggling, we turn to some strange places for help. And I know that we have the best intentions, but not everyone is a therapist. Not everyone can handle what we're going through. But if you're looking to find the right match for you, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. They do an initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. It's a short questionnaire. It helps identify your needs and your preferences. And they use their 10-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate to get it right the first time. And listen, if you're not happy with your therapist, you can change at any time from their tailored recommendations. I cannot speak highly enough about the benefits that therapy has had in my life. And if you find yourself struggling, guys, it is time to check out BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/timeout. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/timeout. We were just discussing the fact that the Packers do not get to get right back out on the field and fix and remedy what ails them. No, they got to sit with this tie, this 40-40 tie, this kissing your sister tie, because they have a bye. And then someone said, well, Matt LaFleur should be able to get it cleaned up. They should be able to come out strong out of the bye, Gabe? Does history indicate that they come out strong out of the bye?
3-3 in the 6 years of Matt LaFleur as being the head coach, this year being number 7. And there have been some ugly losses coming out of the bye. Starting in 2019, team was 8-2, cooking along. Go on the road to San Francisco, lose 37-8. 2020, start 4-0, feeling good. Go on the road to Tampa Bay, lose 38-10.
So far, we've got 18 points total out of the bye for a Matt LaFleur-led offense.
Made up for it in 2021. Team was 10-3 going into the bye. Beat Chicago at home, 45-30. So got things right there. In 2022, 5-8 going into the bye. Come out of it with a home game against the Los Angeles Rams. Win 24-12. 2-3 going into the bye in 2023. And they lost to Denver on the road, 19-17. And then last year, 6-3 going into the bye, and because of a blocked field goal, they beat the Chicago Bears 20-19.
3-3 after the bye, and Don weighs in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. He says, I'm glad you brought up his record after the bye. There's already evidence this year because Cleveland was after a mini bye. You know, they played on Thursday night, and then they get an extended week. The offense was sleepwalking in that game. Ed Policy was at the game last night with Goody evaluating something or someone, question mark. We'll go out to the phone line very quickly. Caleb in Horicon, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Has Matt LaFleur earned that extension, in your opinion?
I think we got to wait and see, like Chewy said. But after seeing that game, I just look at the Packers, and I'm like, there's three things that have been a common theme for the longest time. It's either injuries, it's either self-inflicted wounds, or they just play it onto their opponent and they don't play to win. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, look, I think the not playing to win thing has been a thorn in a lot of people's side. For a guy who was caught on camera back in 2019 saying all gas, no brakes, there have been a lot of brake checks over the years.
But the theme is kind of weird.
What?
Why are we crushing the offense when the defense sucked? Because Halfley clearly, and I don't know why, played way too much zone last night.
Yeah, look.
Way too much zone. It was porous, you know. Dallas, who was without their top receiver, they were finding holes. The tackling was terrible. It was way too conservative. Why aren't we beating up on the defense more than the offense?
Because the defense made the play. Micah Parsons chasing down Dak Prescott, I thought was going to be a huge play that we're going to be talking about. Because as they pointed out, like, Dak Prescott's scoring there. If Micah doesn't chase him down from the spot in which he did, Dak Prescott scores a touchdown, and then this is actually probably
then
lost still,
over.
Right? Well, it's not over because the new NFL But then you have to score a touchdown. Maybe that would have helped LaFleur be more aggressive. I don't know. But I thought, okay, Parsons is going to chase that down. That results in them kicking a field goal because they throw an incomplete pass in the next drive or on the next play. Packers get down there so quickly. I'm thinking, all right, they're going to punch this in the end zone. They're going to use that momentum, get the win, get out of here. Who cares? And then the last thing we see, Chew, which is why I think it's just sticking with everybody, is Matt LaFleur turtling
conservativeness.
Up
yeah.
over the last three, after getting down there with, again, relative ease.
Let me take it back even a step further, guys. They send McManus out there as the captain for the coin toss in overtime, and McManus wins the coin toss, and they choose to kick. And they said on the broadcast, like, oh, the rationalization there is that now you know what you need.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even that, again, I can sit there and I can get behind the logic of it, certainly. But even that, guys, is not an aggressive stance. Even that is a, well, we're going to see what the other team does instead of being like, no, we're bleeping good. We're going to go out, put a touchdown in the end zone here and make you respond to it.
I think that's, you're going to see a lot of teams do that.
I'm just saying it's another example, in my opinion. I'll throw it in the book of, like, you're a little more cautious than you are assertive.
I honestly think that's the right call, though. With the new overtime rules, I think that's the right call. I mean, you see it all the time in college. I mean, if you win that coin toss in college, where you know both teams are getting the ball, you know, okay, we're going to go second because then we know what we need. When you're guaranteed that possession, A, you get the opportunity to have a short field if you force a punt, and I know the Packers didn't force many of them that, but if you force the punt, you get a shorter field, and now you know you just need that field goal. And it gives you that extra down, an extra down that helped the Packers last night because they needed fourth down to pick up a first down to Matthew Golden to continue a drive. So I look at that differently, Jen. I look at that as That's to me the right play in overtime, the way that the NFL has changed their rules.
All I'm saying is that if you are a team that believes in what you got going on offensively and you think that you can go down there, ram it down their throat and put it in the end zone, there's a part of me that would send a message that you feel strongly and you are confident in your operation. I get what you're saying. Like I said, I can get behind the logic of now we know what we need. Now we know how we have to sort of structure this offensive drive. But I also kind of like the idea of, you know, something inappropriate and you stopped me. Thank you so much. I appreciate
anticipation.
This situation happened with, I believe it was Kyle Shanahan, maybe last year. And people were up in arms about the decision to give the ball away like Matt LaFleur did. And then people crunched the numbers and they found out it's like analytically, there's really no difference. The big thing to me, though, is when you have the ball second and you have a chance to win, you got to go then try to win. And that's not what they clearly weren't interested
but
in.
But I can tell you,
from
a player standpoint, and they didn't have it back in my day, you couldn't defer. I don't know why.
Yeah, that was weird.
From an offensive standpoint, you always wanted the ball in the second half. Okay, because when you don't get it in the first half, you know, to start the game, to an offensive player, the game really hasn't started psychologically. It's kind of weird, you know, where if you're getting the ball at the start of the second half, if you're not getting the ball at the start of the second half and they have like an 8-minute drive, man, it feels like you have not played in an eternity. And from a player standpoint, Jen, I agree with you because you're warm, you're loose in overtime. Offense wants the ball like that. Because you're loose and humming and having to sit there 6 minutes and watch another drive and then it takes like 3 plays to get it going. Players are weird.
Well, and you're also at the mercy, just again, we're talking strategy here in the overtime with the new overtime rules. You're also at the mercy of whatever you just said, Chew, is left on the clock.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. If Dallas goes out there and chews up a huge chunk and all of a sudden they're like, here you go, 3 minutes, see what you could do. Yeah, all right, well, now we're running our 2-minute offense here to try to get in the end zone.
And that's where it's different than Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan gave up the ball last year when he could have lost the game. Because the touchdown last year still ended the game. So I think that's why Shanahan was criticized for that, because he gave it up thinking, okay, knowing that if he gave up a touchdown, game was over. That's different this year with both sides getting the ball.
I thought it was in the playoffs, but they weren't in the playoffs.
They were not in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's where I got lost in it, yeah.
Got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to here as we continue breaking down the Packers' tie to the Dallas Cowboys, which felt like a loss. It did. Went to bed last night and was like, ugh. And maybe it's because of the way the game ended. It was so embarrassing. And you were like, how in the world is a world-class operation like the Green Bay Packers letting something like that happen, letting the clock run down like that, not taking another shot at the end zone, settling for a field goal, and leaving Dallas with a tie? I guess we take solace in the fact that, like, what did they say? It was the second highest points ever scored in a tie game or something wild like that. Woohoo! Jed, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.
I want to tell you about my friends at Wanna Parlay, my favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on parlays. You've heard me talk about them before, but with the football season here, it's time to play. I'm looking at this weekend going with a Breece Hall anytime touchdown, Mason Taylor to have under 20.5 receiving yards in the Monday night game, Jake Browning over 218 passing yards, and Will Lutz to have over 7.5 kicking points. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Put in $20, they'll give you 20 more. Download the Wanna Parlay app today. Use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.